We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We have more depth, and as a result of having more depth, I think we can be a really good defensive team and run even a little bit more than we have run, because we don't have to pace ourselves. There'll be subs. The upperclassmen have really done a good job. The seniors, Jack White and Javon Delorier, but also Justin Robinson, who's a graduate student. All three of those guys are playing well, but they're also helping the younger guys. Not that we weren't together in the last few years. We were, but it seems like we're even a tighter group because I think everyone feels they have a chance to contribute.
And welcome back, I guess we should say. It's the Duke Basketball Podcast. David Schumate alongside Associate Head Coach John Shire as we get ready for the start of the 2019-20 season. The team will be up in Madison Square Garden November 5th to take on Kansas in the State Farm Champions Classic to get things underway at 7 o'clock. But in the midst of the preseason now, and Coach, I know this is always a great time of year for the coaches because you finally start to get to see what the guys look like in five-on-fives. I know you get a little bit of work in the summer, but it really gets into the meat of it right now.
Well, it's been exciting to see the guys get back. You know, we've had a chance to work all summer long and now into the fall. So they're getting an idea for what we're looking for as a coaching staff. And definitely we're coming along well, and guys are improving and excited to get going this season. It's right around the corner.
It's also been an eventful camp in the Shire household. Things are expanding.
They are. They definitely are. So it's been a big blessing. You know, I have my son at home now and my daughter. And so we have my wife and I have two under two, which is a challenge in its own right. And it's, like I said, it's a blessing, though. It's fun to see the dynamic. For me, the best part about it is seeing the dynamic between my daughter and my son and how she looks at them. So that's been a fun thing to see.
Between Jet and Noah, have you guys started to figure out, do they look more like you or Marcel? Or,
you know, they have a little bit of both. You know, my daughter Noah, I think she maybe a little bit more like me. You know, I get all the time people make the joke, you know, stinks for her. You know, she looks like you. It's getting old, by the way. If anybody thinks about cracking that joke, it's getting a little old. And then my son, it's a little too early. We're still trying to figure it out.
She seems like she got that sly grin that you have every now and then.
She does.
Which
you know
is
what
awesome.
She does. Which I'm proud of her for that.
All right, we're going to talk hoops today, obviously looking ahead to the season, and be checking in with you guys as the season rolls along pretty much every week as we get into it once the regular season gets underway. And today we're going to take a look at the roster, do some breakdowns of the guys that came back, and of course look at all the new guys that are coming into this. But, Coach, I do want to start with the offseason, no pun intended, but when you look at what these guys accomplished over the summer, we'll talk about camp in detail in just a second, but big picture, what was the biggest thing that you saw guys working on in the offseason, the improvement from, you know, for the new guys when they first got on campus in early July, but, you know, for some of the older guys, Jack White obviously went overseas and played for the national team for Australia over the summer, and a lot of guys, Alex O'Connell was one that popped to me, looked like he's put on some muscle in the offseason. What's jumped out to you?
Well, I think you hit it on the head. You know, the first thing, the work they've done with our strength coach, Will Stevens, Nick Potter, Jose Fonseca, our training staff with their bodies, they took a huge jump, and just in general with our team. Each one of them had individual areas they needed to address, but I think all in all, they transformed their bodies, you know, really good shape, gotten a lot stronger, faster, quicker. And then just the big thing for us in the summer was continuing to improve on our skill level. So, you know, shooting, ball handling, passing, you know, and defense has been a big emphasis for us. We've been a good defensive team, but we want to be even a better defensive team this year. We want to be a great defensive team. So that's something we take a big jump in as well.
Coach obviously entering his 40th season here at Duke. The entire staff is the same as a year ago. Obviously, Associate Head Coach John Shire, alongside Associate Coach Nate James and Assistant Coach Chris Carrowell, Nolan Smith oversees the basketball operations, but there's been a new face back in around the program, having William Avery. It's been awesome to see him back on campus, coming back 20 years later to finish his degree.
Yeah, it's amazing what Will is doing. It's amazing. And, you know, the fact he's, you know, you get another guy just that's around that has amazing basketball experience, one at Duke, but two professionally. And afterwards, so just a different perspective. It's great to have around. He's very smart. It's been a lot of fun having him around. He's also been a good addition to our competitive coaching shooting games. So, you know, Nate James and Chris Carrowell need another guy that could pick them up in shooting. So Will's helped them out with that as well.
Oh, did you have a power rankings there? Where does he
slide
in?
Yeah, you know, so we do a little 2010 versus 99 occasionally. So, you know, Will obviously goes into that category with Nate and Chris Carrowell, and Nolan and I. I think we have a 7-2 record this year.
So. I knew you were winning because wouldn't have been brought up if you weren't winning.
Exactly. So
that's awesome. Yeah. So some work to do to try to write. Exactly. But they're probably saying this is preseason. They're just kind of get the kinks.
That's what they say. You know, if it's a long season, they're going to end up with a lot of losses. I can say that much.
Well, speaking of the preseason, kind of in the midst of it now, in the middle of Countdown to Craziness and exhibition games, and you take a look at how it maps out, and, you know, in some respects, it feels like it's going to take forever, particularly from a fan's perspective, because you're ready for the regular season to get started. You guys got started with practice, the full-on practice schedule, in late September. When you guys as a staff are meeting and coming up with things that you want to do, you got fall break you got to figure out in that, you got scrimmages you want to get worked in, you've got the exhibition games, you've got the countdown event. What goes into mapping out what all you guys want to do and how it happens? And I guess I put that out there in the context of, is it mapped out or is it more, you know, a couple days in advance or a week at a time? How do you guys look at it?
Well, we look at, from the very beginning of the school year, we take a look at all of our practices leading up to the first game. And so we always have an overall picture for generally what our practice schedule is going to look like, and some of the scrimmage dates and what we're trying to accomplish. But then week to week, you know, a coach obviously, you know, leads us in this regard, but maps out what the practice schedule is going to look like day to day in that week. And so, you know, one of the best things I think we do as a staff is it's always subject to change. And so just because we have something set in stone or in writing, if the guys are a little more sore than we thought or if something went a little better, we can go longer, shorter, or do something different. Coach is always willing to adjust, and that's been a good thing for us.
We're going to talk about specific personnel here in just a second, but it feels like a theme that we've heard a lot from Coach talking about here in the preseason is he thinks this team can be really good defensively.
Yeah, and you know, I think you bring back the fact we bring back some veterans in Jack White and Javon Delarier, who are very good defensive players, and you know, the guy to me who should be up in the running for a National Defensive Player of the Year in Trey Jones. That's a heck of a start right there. And then you add in some of our other veteran guys who know our defense, and Alex and Joey and Jay Gold showed flashes where he came in games and was a stopper for us last year. And then our freshmen have come a long way, and they're very capable defenders. So, and we feel like we should be the best defensive team in the country. So that's our goal. Obviously, we have a lot of work to be done. But that's something we've really made a big emphasis on.
You have six freshmen in this group of 14. What is the biggest challenge from high school to college in terms of what you have to do on the defensive end of the floor?
Well, I just think the physicality that you have to play with. You know, obviously, in the college game, you can't use your hands. Anytime if, you know, you're guarding, you're the primary defender, if you're guarding the ball, you can't use your hands. But off the ball or blocking out or bodying up, you know, you can use your body more. And so that's something we've tried to work on with our guys. But, you know, all of them, and, like, I'll take our perimeter guys to start with. They're very, very athletic, very capable defenders. They can move their feet, Cassius, Wendell, Matt. And Vernon inside has been a rim protector, has been a presence in there. So, you know, that's something you can't teach those things, but so they have the tools. And now we're just trying to teach them how we want to play defense because it's different. Any team you go to, it's just a different way to play.
And obviously goal setting is a big part of the preseason as well. And, you know, we're getting ready for Countdown to Craziness, our broadcast we're going to do for it. And I talked to each of the guys individually, get them to do some introduction. I asked them each kind of what their goal was for the season. This was all done independently. Well, let's hear what they said.
My biggest goal this year is to win the national championship.
National championship.
Win the national championship.
My goal is the national championship.
National championship.
National championship.
My goal for this year?
Win the national championship.
Win the national championship.
National championship.
My biggest goal is to win the national championship.
Win the national championship.
My goal for the year is just to win the national championship.
My goal for this year is to
bring our number six to Cameron.
You hear what they say there, and I guess in one respect, it's not surprising, but it is interesting that independently, they all kind of came to the same conclusion.
Well, I love hearing that, and, you know, I think a lot of people will say that and can say that, but those guys mean it, and it's part of what we talk about in the recruiting process, and when you come to Duke, that is our goal, is to win a national championship, and if that's not something you want to do or something that you're willing to sacrifice for, then you shouldn't come here. So love the fact they said those things. We have a chance to do that. You know, I think, again, it might be, you know, to quote you, it's coach talk, but we do have a long way to go in that regard. But I love that they're saying that.
And you have to build through that throughout the course of the season. I think that's evidenced by Coach Krzyzewski talked about late last year with the injury to Zion Williamson, that it kind of threw the timing and the rhythm off of what you guys were building. But it does highlight how difficult it is to build everything correctly throughout the course of the season. But having those guys with that perspective, having your guys' experience, I imagine that does focus your work of, while you have the individual game you're always focused in, you always know you're also building towards something else.
It's true. Well, if you look at the last 2 years, we've had great seasons. We've been in the Elite Eight. You're a game away from going to the Final Four. And I think once you get to the Final Four, anything obviously can happen. But it comes down to one play. And that's not to say there's one specific play from the game that lost us or won us the game, but it's a difference of one possession. And so when we're working, you know, coaches brought up a few times, look, you're working on this. Maybe one time you're talking on defense better. It might be a blockout. It might be an extra pass. That's the difference between losing and winning, especially when it comes down to the tournament. So that's something we've had an emphasis on, and it's really just the reality of our game. The margin of error is so slim, and so as we're working, you know, the attention to detail has been greater for us in understanding it can come down to one play.
Well, let's talk about the individuals on this team. A really talented group of 14. They're going to make up the roster this season. Do want to start with Trey Jones, the new captain amongst the three. Javon Delorier and Jack White are also back as captains this season. Before we talk about him as a player, awesome news earlier this month. His mom announced on social media that she is cancer-free. Debbie Jones, I know you are incredibly close with that family, both Trey and Tyus. That's the best news you can get all year.
The best. Shout out to Debbie. You know, she's a warrior. You know, she's incredible. You know, throughout the entire process, first of all, when I would talk with her on the phone, she sounded so upbeat, and you would never think she's going through chemo or radiation or anything like that. As positive as could be, her mindset right away was, you know, winning this and going to get it done. So, you know, obviously shout out to her and the news. It could not have, you couldn't get any better news than that. So obviously we've been thinking about her throughout this whole time, but Debbie, if you're listening, I don't know if you're a big listener of this podcast, but if you are, we love you and can't wait to see you down here soon.
That is just awesome news, and looking forward to seeing her back in Cameron Indoor Stadium this season. See her all over the road as well. So let's talk about Trey. Honorable mention, All-ACC from a year ago, was on the second team, All-ACC tournament team, All-ACC defensive team. A lot of people think he's going to be in the mix this year for ACC Player of the Year. I know you love those preseason awards, so I figured I'd throw some of them out there. He was the first player in Duke history with 5 career games with 7 assists or 0 turnovers. He did it in 1 year. I can't remember whose record he broke, but that's neither here nor there.
We're going to bring that up.
I'll edit that.
If anybody could do it, I would want Trey to be the guy that did it. So I'm proud of him for that.
But all that tees up, I don't want to speak for you, but it seems fairly straightforward. On the floor, he's the leader for this group.
He is, and he's going to be the guy that sets the tone for us every day. He's the ultimate winner, and, you know, it's great when your best player strictly cares about winning. And it doesn't matter if it's scoring, rebounding, passing, whatever it is, Trey's willing to do that.
Real quick on him, I know he had the surgery in the offseason. Looks like he's full go as you guys have gotten into the preseason here.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best things that Trey's done this summer is just get healthy. You know, he's more explosive. He's able to work out more, you know, before practice, after practice. So it's kind of like a whole different person in a way. So that's been – he's healthy and, you know, ready to go.
All right, as we roll through the returners and talk about these guys a little bit, I did want to play a little game. We'll do a little word association. We'll start with Trey. I want you to give me one word that describes their off season and why. So what pops to you for Trey Jones?
Relentless, I would say. You know, he just – tireless worker. You know, the way he attacked his rehab, attacked every day, working out, a lot of individual work. He was just relentless. I think that's a heck of a first word to get started that came to my mind. So let's see if I can keep it going.
Well, let's keep rolling with the senior class. Jamin Delorier, we talked about it in the last podcast, took a look at the NBA draft process, just ultimately decided to come back for his senior season here at Duke. He's one of the captains again for this team. What have you seen from Jamin in the offseason?
Are we doing word association?
Yeah.
Am I throwing a word out there?
Yeah.
You know, I'll use the word fierce, you know, for Jav because he's constantly putting his body in the line, even in the summer in July, where having guys do different drills, and he's diving on the floor for loose balls. He's taking charges. He's protecting the rim. And that's – I know a lot of people talk about skill, but that in itself is a skill to me. So he's taking a big jump, had a heck of a summer, heck of a fall. You know, I think Javin's in for a big year as a senior.
Got a guy on the team that got some hardware in the offseason. Jack White won a bronze medal at the World University Games in Naples, Italy. Brutal travel schedule having to go for Italy during the summer. Jack, back for his senior season, what would you use to describe him?
For Jack White, I would say physical. You know, offensively, he's on the boards like crazy. Defensively, he's, you know, a pest, and he's all over the place. He's playing very confidently, shooting the ball great, playing defense. He's everywhere. So, you know, for me, it's physical. He brings that presence for us, being a veteran guy.
Love that word. He's one of those guys. You might outjump him for a rebound, but you're not going to outfight him for rebound. It's incredible to watch him work in the paint. He gets after it.
Right.
And one more senior to get to, in fact, a redshirt senior, Justin Robinson. Clearly, when you're around practice, one of the more vocal guys on the team. What have you seen from him as he goes into his senior year?
You know, he's that vet for us. You know, he's that veteran who, one, can really play. That's the first thing. I mean, if you watch our practices, he's blocking shots. He's hitting open threes. And he knows every single play that we're running. You know, he knows every drill inside and out. And he's a leader where he's helping the younger guys, telling them what the right thing to do is, to helping them in a drill, helping them when we're playing 5-on-5. And so he's been a huge asset for us for the last, you know, this is going into his fifth year. But he's a guy that has turned into a really good player as well. So that's been fun to see his development.
All right, let's move on to the junior class. Let's start with Alex O'Connell.
Yeah, Alex is taking a huge jump. You know, I would say, you know, Alex is fearless. You know, that's the word I would use for him. And I think, I know this isn't your question, Shoemate, but dating back to last year in the Sweet 16, he gets a start and plays 30 semi-minutes and, you know, plays his butt off. And so a lot of guys would be afraid for a situation like that. But he's gotten stronger this offseason. He can come in a game and I think blow it open for us. Obviously, he can start a game and do that. But Alex is fearless.
Yeah, everyone remembers at the last moment. Unfortunately, Cam found out he wasn't going to be able to go, and Alex, it's not like he knew for a couple of days he was going to have to start, and as you said, came out there and played extremely well. Speaking of playing extremely well, whenever I think of Jordan Goldwire, I think of the game at Louisville and the incredible comeback and what he was able to do on the defensive end of the floor. What pops for you about him going into his junior year?
Well, he's a pest. You know, he's in and if you've ever been called a pest, I mean that in the most complimentary way. Defensively, he's a problem. You know, he gets after the ball. It's funny because we actually have two guys on the team, him and Trey. They guard each other, and they make life very difficult for one another in practice. And then if they get a switch and they're on somebody else, it makes life very, very hard on that person to create or to try to run an offense or to do anything. So Jordan's a pest. You know, defensively, he's gotten even better and smarter and understanding angles and knowing how to play. So he's been terrific in that regard.
One more junior to get to. Mike Buckmeyer, pretty cool moment of the offseason when you guys gave him a scholarship.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. Buck's, you know, done a great job. He works his butt off, and he's, you know, he's a great asset for us. You know, he gets after the guys in practice and, you know, works with them before and after. That's where, you know, him and Keenan and Mike Sav, those guys, the work they do before and after practice is really important for our team.
So fair to say for Buckmeyer, worker would probably be
the word that would pop out.
No, no, you had vet. So
yeah,
vet for J-Rob, I see worker for Buckmeyer.
Yeah, he's got the nickname the scientist on our team. You know, so he's the worker and the scientist.
We already talked about one of the sophomores. Let's talk about the other one, Joey Baker.
Yeah, tough. Joey's just tough. You know, he's mixes it up all the time. Doesn't matter who he's guarding. Sometimes we'll have him guard some bigs, and, you know, he's – not as big as those guys, and he's banging down low, and he's on the perimeter chasing around little guards. So Joey's tough. You know, he can knock down shots, and he's been he's a weapon for us for sure.
Well, we talked about the eight returners. There's six freshmen in this class, and we're going to run through them here in just a second. But I do think it's interesting. I was getting ready for this, getting ready for the season, and it feels like with this day and age, with the level of talent that is coming to Duke, all these guys on one level or another have international experience by the time they get to college. They all played for USA basketball on some level or another. Most of them won gold medals. You see MVPs of tournaments and all the like. But just a big picture thing from the competition they play outside of their high schools and things like that and what they're able to do in the international game, how much does that prepare them for what they're going to see when they get to the collegiate level?
It's a good question, and it really has changed high school basketball where our guys have played. You know, Wendell, Matt and Vernon in particular, and Cassius has had great experience because he went to Sierra Canyon and they play an incredible high school schedule.
But it sounds familiar. That's where Marvin Bagley III was.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been a good school to us. But those guys with their USA basketball experience, their AAU experience, they play really against not just the best talent and best competition in the country, but in the world. And so that's been a huge help, having our guys ready to go, you know, from day one in college, because they've been in different environments and played against different players.
Well, let's talk about these guys as players real quick. Let's roll through them. Wendell Moore Jr., Charlotte, North Carolina native, top-rated player coming out of the state of North Carolina, listed as a forward. How would you describe his game?
He's a guard. You know, Wendell's a guard, and he's a jack of all trades. You know, he's very strong. He's a big time winner. You know, just like I said about Trey, he's a guy, if it's his scoring, if it's his rebounding, passing, if anything, he's actually a little too unselfish, but he can really pass the ball. He's going to be a creator for us. And the thing I think he'll continue to show over time is how well he can shoot the ball. That's, I think, the next step for him is, you know, he shoots the heck out of it in practice, but then to do it consistently in scrimmages and in practice and in games, that's where we want him to take the next jump. But he's terrific defender, you know, just a really good overall player.
Got another Minnesota kid on the team this year, Matthew Hurt, 6'9", 214. He is long. He can shoot. He's athletic. How would you describe him?
Yeah, no, Matt's a really special player. You know, Matt's a guy. You know, he's the typical guy that can go inside and out. You know, he can really shoot it from deep. He can hurt you if you get a switch. He can go down in the paint. And the thing I think that was underrated about Matt coming in, but just how good of a passer he is. You know, and so, you know, we're able to put multiple guys on the court who can pass, handle, score, shoot. That's been, when we've been our most dangerous, that's when we've had multiple guys who can do those things. And Matt's one of them. I think the thing that stood out to us so much with Matt is how he never makes any excuses. He's tough. He goes after it every day. He doesn't really get tired. So we love seeing that with Matt. It's been fun working with him.
You talk about guys who can move all over the floor, and Coach talks about this a lot, about positionless basketball. This guy right. isn't this, that, or the right. other. He plays everywhere. I think Vernon Carey Jr. falls right into that. Listed as a center, has the big body, 6'10", 270, but he can go out and shoot it, man.
Yeah, no, he can definitely shoot it, and, you know, he's a problem down that paint. You know, we have nobody like him down there, and so – you know, he's still learning. Now he can be more physical. It's kind of what Okafor went through, where you know, if he was physical in high school, they're going to call an offensive foul on him. But now he can really use his body, and so continuing to do that will be huge. He's been had a great attitude. He's been, you know, working hard, and he's been a guy that has shown he's defending in ball screens. He's protecting our rim. And then offensively, he's a versatile player. Like you said, he can step out and hit a three. He also, down the paint, like, I think he's going to be a guy you need to double team or at least draw some attention to, because he's very good down there.
And you touched on this kid earlier, Cassius Stanley, L.A. native. Mom participated in track and field at UCLA. How would you describe his game?
Cassius, well, first and foremost, he's a gifted athlete, you know, and he's a guy. Reminds me of myself back in the day, actually. That's a joke, obviously. you know, but gifted athlete, you know, he's explosive in transition. He's a great offensive rebounder. He's a guy you always have to, you know, watch where he's at. He's on the he has a great nose for the ball. And he's also a guy that's capable of creating, playmaking, and has shown he's a good shooter as well. So the thing we want him to do, he's been a really good defender for us. He can be a lockdown defender. And so just learning the way we're playing defense and everything like that, I think we'll, Cassius will make huge strides as the season goes on in that area.
Keenan Worthington, what's the best way to describe him, one of the walk-ons on this team?
Yeah, Keenan's really impressed us. You know, we've had a good bloodline from Blair Academy. You know, we had Luol Deng that came here, the Davidsons, one of the Davidsons, Jordan, I played with throughout college, and, you know, it was one of the best walk-ons we've ever had. I think Keenan will be in the same boat. You know, Keenan, no question he could have played somewhere else in Division I. So when we got him here, we felt like we were lucky to have him, you know, in practice. He fits right in. There's not a big drop-off when he comes in practice. You know, he's a good body for our big guys. And so he's been really good for us. He's quiet. He's trying to get him to talk more and open up. But he's been just great to have in our program.
And finally, Michael Savarino. I haven't heard Poppy a lot being at practice here in the preseason,
exactly.
but it has been interesting. He is a fiery competitor. Reminds me of someone else that I've been around a little bit.
Yeah, no, he gets after it. And the cool part for me, and I think Nolan and all of us as assistants, we've seen Mike grow up, literally. I mean, we won the national championship, you know, 2010, I was here, and you know, I got here, in 2006, Shoemate, and that's, you know, 13 years ago, Mike was five. You know, so I've literally seen him grow up, and he's always in the gym. Nobody's in the gym more than he is, working before and after practice. And like you said, he's he's shooting and misses too many shots, or if something happens that he doesn't like, he gets after it. Let's put it that way. He gets after it.
That was good. I think it's cool to run through all the different guys that are going to be on the team this year and to get your perspective on each one of those. It's a group, and I wanted to run through all of them because I do feel like this has been one of those years you need all of them.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's been fun because there hasn't been, throughout the summer and fall, there hasn't really been a lot of separation. And there's been big-time competition. Guys have been working their tails off. And it's a team where, you know, each game it might be somebody a little different stepping up. So that's been fun to see.
You opened the door, so I'm going to go there. At the risk of you saying I'm calling you old, I did see that you were in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago, seeing some of the guys down there and a lot of stories out there about all the different Duke guys that are going to be on the team this year. And Trajan Langdon obviously
right.
involved as well. But to see Frank Jackson, to see Zion Williamson, guys that you coach that are now in the league.
I know, right.
Is that surreal?
Yeah, it is surreal. I mean, Frank was really him and Jason and Luke were, you know, some of the first guys I ever recruited at Duke, you know, and just to see what they've done and where they're at now, obviously it makes you feel old, but I think with feeling old, you feel proud. So I'm proud of those guys and what they've done. And the fact that you have five, not just players, but you have five really good players down in New Orleans, I think says a lot about Coach in this program and the players we've been able to coach here and get better and, you know, to see where they're at now.
And looking forward to seeing what Zion Marquise and Cam and Antonio and all them do at the next level and sneaking around the old chicken coop. I think RJ's got a pretty good season up there in New York.
Yeah, exactly. You know, people, for whatever reason, I think with RJ, you know, people are, you know, sleeping on him a little bit. And RJ, I think, relishes in that people are doing that. So he's going to have a monster year. You know, Cam, like what he's doing in the preseason, I think he's, you know, going to be terrific in a great situation in Atlanta. And so it's fun to see where all our guys are at right now.
Before we turn our attention to your three-point shot, get a couple questions up before we get out of here. In this window now where countdown's going on and these couple of exhibition games before you get to Kansas, as a staff, what are you guys kind of evaluating here over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, we're evaluating everything, frankly. Our defense is going to be important early on, and so really paying attention to that. And then offensively, you know, just making the right play. You know, coach talks about, you know, making a good shot to a great shot, you know, and, you know, sharing the ball. And we feel like our offense will come, but it starts with our defense.
All right, well, let's get a shot up before we get out of here. The three-point shot, apropos, the line has been moved back to meet the international distance. And on the pickup court now, that is big changes here, you and Nolan versus the managers. I know it's early. Who's adjusted better?
Who do you think's adjusted better is the question. That's Nolan and I, our distance goes way beyond the three-point line. So
put it on a tee and let him swing.
Exactly. So, but our managers, you know, they're mostly drivers first, you know, shooters second. So we're able to, you know, plug and make them shoot and kick. So they're still adjusting. Let's put it that way. They're still adjusting.
Undefeated in the new year so far?
Undefeated.
We'll be checking in, see how the record plays out over the course of the year. One of the cool moments, obviously, of the preseason always is Countdown to Craziness. And the highlight, for me anyway, is to watch the kids come out and pick their song and dance a little bit. Do you have a favorite?
I do. I only had one, actually, so that is my favorite. It's a song by The Killers. It's All the Things We've Done. And, you know, I first heard that song, it played on a Nike commercial, and I'm not going to sing it for you. You have to look it up.
Come on. How would you rate your dance moves?
I didn't dance. Yeah,
what?
I can't dance. Yeah, so I don't know what I would have done, because all of our guys dance now, and if I was to walk out there, I'd look like a fool.
The other thing we wanted to highlight throughout the season, we're going to touch on this each time we get a shot up. Coach, this is his 40th season. We could run through all the records he set, but candidly don't have time because that would take another hour of the podcast. But I do want to touch on what he's done throughout his career here. And we're obviously in the portion of the season where you're building a lot of practice time, a lot of quality time with the team. What's a memory for you from preseason, whether it's, you know, when you're coaching or when you're playing, of what coach is like during this time of year, something that stood out for you?
Well, I think I always remember the first practice or two, coach's intensity just going up another notch, you know. And I also remember the first two practices usually were all defense. And so, you know, after the practice, I remember just being incredibly sore from being in a defensive stance. And no matter what you do in the off season, no matter what you do in the preseason to prepare, there's nothing like playing defense in a practice. And so, and I think Coach got a little kick out of that, that all of us felt that way. And so I'll never forget those first couple of days, just as intensity going up a few notches.
Well, preseason is upon us. The regular season will be here in a few weeks. We'll be checking in a couple of weeks before the game against Kansas. Coach, appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Talk to you guys in a couple of weeks.